Funny how the Lord works things sometimes. This morning, as Pastor Kupan was preaching through his message, I was noticing a tight parallel to what I had been preparing throughout the week to preach. And I don't think that's by accident in any sense of it. I think the Lord has something for us along the same lines as what was preached this morning, but this will be almost a kind of a New Testament continuation of what we talked about this morning. So if you turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. We'll be looking at the first seven verses tonight of 2 Timothy chapter 1. But it is no secret that the Christian life is filled with bumps and challenges that test us. Right? That shouldn't be a surprise to any of us. It's not a secret that Christians try to keep from those who are unbelievers, as we witness to them. The Bible makes it very clear to us that our lives that we live as Christians are not always easy. And they're not easy lives. There are many obstacles if we are to live a life that is faithful to God. And as Christians, that should be our goal. Our goal should be to be faithful to God. We should be seeking to live a life that is faithful to God. We should be striving to live a life that would have us standing before God one day, giving an account of our life and our service for Him, in which He says, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." But this is not easy. Life is filled with adversity. We have the adversity of the flesh, as we are constantly warring against our own members. We are fighting against ourselves in that way. We have the adversity of those who live by the flesh, being antagonistic towards us in the life that we now live in Christ. We have the devil and his following, who is trying to stunt our Christian growth by any means necessary. And we even have the aspects that the trials and testings that God puts us through are tough. Now, this testing is done for our betterment, but again, it's not easy. Anyone who has gone through these periods of testing and trial from God can attest to the fact that the adjective used to describe those times would be anything but easy. And at no point in our Christian walk are we ever exempt from these things. It doesn't matter if we are young believers. It doesn't matter if we are mature believers. It doesn't matter how old we are or how young we are. It doesn't matter our situation. These things will be present in our lives until we are present with the Lord. Even the strongest of Christians will go through periods of suffering. And this is very easily highlighted by the life of the Apostle Paul. We know that Paul had many difficulties in his service for Christ, but there's a list in 2 Corinthians for us of just a few of the perils and struggles that Paul had in his ministry. I'll turn there and just read some of these briefly. In 2 Corinthians, we see that Paul, as he served the Lord, did not have the easiest of times doing so. 2 Corinthians 11, in verse 22, it says, "Howbeit, whereinsoever any is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things which are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches." We see that in this list, this is just briefly highlighting the things that Paul went through as he served the Lord. Now, obviously, we will not be all called to suffer in the same manner as Paul suffered, but there is something that is important to note with the sufferings that happened to Paul. And what's important is that this list of suffering is in direct correlation to Paul serving Christ in ministry. many of these things, if not all of these things, would not have happened to Paul if he decided not to serve the Lord. These sufferings were brought on by the fact that God had called the Apostle Paul to do something, and as he obeyed and submitted to the Lord's calling in his life, there were things that were buffeting him along the way. Again, we just talked about these things and mentioned them. There was his flesh pulling at him to stop because of the difficulty of service, or because of resistance that he faced. The easy thing would have been for him to stop and do what the flesh wanted. There were unsaved people opposing his ministry. We read times about how he was beaten by his own countrymen and by people that weren't his own countrymen. We see that he was run out of cities because of his ministry. Satan was doing everything in his power to prevent Paul from spreading the gospel. Even as the Lord was preparing Paul to go to Rome, this only came by means of his imprisonment. So we see from the life of Paul, who many consider to be the best missionary potentially who has ever lived, one of the great men to serve the Lord, that these trials, these struggles, these obstacles were present in his life. And like what was already stated, we may not be called to live the life that Paul did, to suffer in the same manner as Paul did, or have the ministry that Paul had. But the truth is that if we are saved, we have all been called by God to do something. God has called each and every one who is his child to something. It's not just those who are in vocational ministry. God has called each and every one to serve him, whether you are a pastor, a missionary, a businessman, a housewife, a teenager in school, a child in school, a retired person, whoever it may be, you have been called by the Lord to do something. If you are saved, you have been called. And this brings the reality in the spotlight back to the fact that we will have adversity and struggle as we seek to serve the Lord in whatever capacity he sees fit to put us in. And the thrust of this message this evening is not to convince you to serve the Lord, or looking at the benefits of serving God and submitting to his call for your life, but rather we're going to be looking at encouragement for serving the Lord and some instruction as to how to serve the Lord. And to help us understand these things, we're going to be looking at the life of Timothy and the instruction that Paul gave him concerning some of these things. In the context of 2 Timothy chapter 1, we see that Paul is writing to Timothy. Now, this isn't the first time that Paul had written to Timothy. Obviously, if we're in the book of 2 Timothy, there was a 1 Timothy. But there is definitely a different outlook from Paul in this letter compared to his previous letter. In the book of 1 Timothy, Paul was in prison with the full expectation that he was going to be freed from prison. But now in 2 Timothy, this was not the expectation. The expectation that was that Paul would soon be put to death. And as Paul was a spiritual father figure to Timothy, and we see that Paul oftentimes refers to Timothy as his son in the faith, we see that this would have been very distressing for Timothy, knowing that his mentor, so to speak, is potentially reaching the end of his life here on earth because of his service to the Lord. And we could probably all look back in our Christian lives, or look currently in our lives, and really point to a person who we felt this way about, the way that Timothy felt about Paul, someone that we would go to for advice, or we would go to for guidance in our spiritual lives. And this was certainly the case for Timothy because he was a young pastor who was placed in the ministry, and Paul had a very direct hand in his placement of ministry and was instrumental in Timothy's establishment as a pastor at a very young age. And as Timothy served in this role, Paul would be a source of great encouragement, but yet there were still challenges like we talked about. And Paul was well aware of these struggles that Timothy was going through. He was well aware of the challenges and well aware of the toll that all of these things were taking on Timothy. Because we see, if we read a little bit in verse 4, that he is mindful of his tears. He's mindful of his tears. Paul was desiring to see Timothy, wanting to visit him and encourage him, being mindful of his tears. Paul knew and understood that Timothy was going through a great struggle. So this evening, we're going to take a look at what Paul told Timothy as he was enduring this struggle, and we will look at what truth we can apply to our lives and our struggles as we seek to do what God has called each of us to do. And we're just going to look at two main points this evening. The first point is, as we are serving the Lord, we need to remember who we are. We need to remember who we are. I'll read the whole passage of 2 Timothy 1:1 through 7, and then we'll get into this first point. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father in Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve for my forefathers with pure conscience and without ceasing. I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting out of my hands. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. As Paul addresses Timothy, the first thing that he does is try to encourage Timothy in reminding him of who he is. And he's not doing this through any earthly credentials. Right, he's not doing this by telling Timothy and kind of building him up with all the accomplishments that he has gone through. Right, he's not doing that in any sense. He's not pointing to, well, think of how young you were when you took over the pastor of this church. You're the youngest pastor out of these groups. Right, all this trust that people put in you. These aren't things that Paul was pointing to encourage Timothy. Rather, he was appealing to, so to speak, spiritual credentials. The first aspect of this was that Paul was reminding Timothy that he is a genuine believer. In verse 5, Paul says that when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you. Paul, throughout his ministry, wrote several of his letters dismissing false teachers from the church and teaching truth that would help genuine believers overcome the false claims that were being made by all of these false teachers. And I'm sure that as Paul served, that there were people that may have deceived Paul into thinking that they were genuine believers, only to find that they were not, and that when tests and trials and temptations came, they showed their true stripes and turned from the gospel. So Paul was finding joy in the fact that even though Timothy was going through these great trials, and these trials were bringing Timothy to the point of tears because of the struggle that he was going through, that because of Timothy's faithfulness, Paul was able to see that Timothy's faith was genuine. It was not that Timothy's faithfulness and actions, as he stuck it out in the ministry God called him to, was the reason for his salvation. It's not what Timothy would be pointing to for the reason that he saved, but rather he did this because of his salvation. Genuine salvation will manifest itself in faithful service to the one who has called you and saved you according to his grace. And this brings the first question that we must face before we move any further in this passage and in this message. And that is the question of, are we genuine believers? Are we saved? This is the baseline that needs to be settled before we can begin to serve God, let alone withstand tough times because of our service. And the beautiful thing about it is that we do not need to wait until we face trials to see if we're genuinely saved. We can have absolute assurance at this very moment that we are truly a child of God. The second thing that Paul is reminding Timothy of is that he's an established believer. He's an established believer. And Paul points to two things that help to anchor Timothy in Christ. and especially as he served God. And the first thing that Paul reminds him of is the heritage of which he came from. Right? He came from a family with genuine faith. Now, this was not, again, what made Timothy a genuine believer, but it is pointing to the importance of what raising a child in the faith can have. Timothy would have been able to see firsthand, growing up, how others have handled trials in the Christian life. And we see that it was not just a one-generation thing. It was the two previous generations that were having an impact on Timothy's life. That even from a young age and being a believer at a young age, he was seeing how to handle and live a successful Christian life. And I know that not everyone has had the privilege to be saved at a young age or be raised in a Christian home, but there are people who have had that privilege. And it is important to point to that privilege. God did not just do that by accident. God placed you there through his grace, and you should be taking advantage of that fact. But this also points to a call that we have to be pouring into the lives of younger believers. Whether you are a parent raising a child and pouring into your child's life, or if you're a grandparent who can pour into your grandchildren's lives. Every interaction is important. Faithful service is important. As children look on, they're very impressionable. They can see and they learn. They pick up on more things than you would ever think. And a consistent life that has been laid out by those who have gone before has a greater impact than we realize. And that's what Paul is pointing to Timothy here, is that the genuine faith that was in him was in his mother and his grandmother. And this goes hand in hand with the fact that Timothy was an established believer, also in part to the relationship that he had with Paul. Because if you notice, we don't see any mention of Timothy's father. But we see that because of his relationship to Paul, Paul was pouring into Timothy. Even though Paul was not his earthly father, Paul was considered Timothy's spiritual father, someone who has been pouring into his life. And Paul took a personal interest in the life of Timothy and invested into that spiritually. And this is something that we all can and should be seeking to do as believers. We should be seeking to find others that we can be pouring into, others that we can be discipling, others that we can be mentoring. This is a ministry that we can have to other believers. We can be sharing God's truth. We can be encouraging in God's truth and helping fellow believers grow in the Lord. And this gives a very complete picture of how the church can be so important, because it is a place where others can encourage others and help them to grow. So even if people are not saved at an early age or didn't grow up in a Christian home, they too have other people pouring into them. And this is something that we can point to, that as we go through tough times is and that we can remember that we have other people that we can go to. We have other people who have an interest in us, interest in our struggles, and an interest in our spiritual growth. Not just family, but others that are pouring into us. And the third thing that Paul is reminding Timothy of is that he is a gifted believer. In verse 6, Paul is reminding Timothy to stir up the gift of God which was in him. He is saying to Timothy to remember that not only are you a genuine believer who is also an established believer having a godly heritage in this relationship with Paul, but ultimately he can do what he is doing because God is enabling him to do it. The reason Timothy was in this position that he was in as a pastor at this time was because God had given him the gifts that enabled him to do this. And when we are saved, we have also been given spiritual gifts. And as we've received our spiritual gifts, we are able to use our spiritual gifts and should use our spiritual gifts. And these are used in service to God. So when we are serving God and we feel overwhelmed by the trials and the issues that we face along the way, we need to remember that God is the one who is enabling us to accomplish these things. Right? They're not our gifts, They're spiritual gifts that God gave us to enable us to do what he wants us to do. And if we understand and truly understand that God is the one enabling us to do what he has called us to do, yet we still doubt whether we can do something, it's not us doubting ourselves at that point. If we truly understand the fact that God is the one enabling, we're not doubting ourselves or our strength. We're actually doubting God and his strength. So when we are serving Christ and we are faced with challenges and trials, we need to be remembering who we are. We need to be remembering that we are genuine believers in Christ, that we've been established, and that we've been enabled by God through his gifts. But secondly, we see that we need to remember our driving force. Remember our driving force. Now that Paul had laid the foundation for Timothy, he is now going into the truth of what should keep him going as he seeks to faithfully serve the Lord. Paul openly recognizes that one of the feelings that we may feel as we serve God is fear. Right? As we look at verse 7, "For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Right? So that feeling is there. But he is recognizing it as he is telling Timothy that that spirit or that attitude is not an attitude that God has given us. It has not come from God. Even though we may feel fear, we need to remember that fear is not from God. He is not scaring us into ministry. He is not scaring us to serve him. As we serve him, God is not intending for us to be fearful in our ministry. Even though this may be a feeling that we may have had in our lives, it is not an attitude or a feeling that should be acted on in our lives. We should not be pulling back in our ministry or avoiding things in our ministry because there may be fear present in this situation. Unfortunately, there are many people that live their lives driven by their fear. Every decision that they make is based off of fear, usually in the form of avoiding things in their life because of this. But there is an aspect that everything substantial that we will do has some element of fear in it. And we cannot allow ourselves to be avoiding things in our service to God because they might make us afraid. For the case with Timothy, he was living in very perilous times. Christians were under heavy persecution, even to the point of death. The reality of prison in the life of Timothy was a very strong possibility. His mentor, Paul, was in jail, about to be put to death for doing exactly what Timothy is also doing, sharing and preaching the gospel. But there was also a fear of being associated with Paul, not just preaching the gospel, but also his association that he had with Paul. Because Paul was in prison, and because he was such a polarizing figure, there would have been many that would have opposed Timothy just for this association. And we see that was indeed the case in verse 8. It says, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." That's why Paul is reminding Timothy that just because there may be fear present, it's not from God. And it should not affect our service for God, because God has not given us a spirit of fear. And it's not just that we have not been given a spirit of fear, but God has also given us other things as believers that help us overcome fear, especially in service as we share the gospel. And the things that Paul mentions to Timothy are things that are reminders for us in all areas of our lives. When we are doubting our ability to do something, or when we're challenged with a hard task in our service, we need to remember that God has given us power. God has given us power. He is the one who is enabling us to do the things that he has called us to do. Other places in Paul's writing, he tells us that we should always be relying on God's power in our service for him, even to the point that if we are doing things in our own power, they're going to be burned up at the day of judgment. So we see this very interesting dynamic that not only has God given us power to do the things that he wants us to do, but if we try to do these things outside of his power and doing things in our own power, that these things will not stand the day of judgment because we are doing them in our power, usually for our glory, instead of by God's power for his glory. Sometimes God calls us to do things that are outside of our power and that can only be done by his power so that we may understand, first of all, who we are, but more importantly, who he is. And what I find amazing about this power is that this power, that in the way that we receive this power, really is so antithetical to how we would imagine power would be and how one would obtain power. Our society today is fascinated by power, right? We would, they're fascinated with how people obtain power and what they look like with power. And really, you can see that by the current trend of all the superhero movies that have been produced recently, right? That attest to this fascination of power and people with extraordinary power. And when we think of these characters that hold this power most of the time, these are very bold characters, right? These are characters that have a certain level of charisma of having power and have done something extraordinary to have received these powers, whatever they may be. And basically, there is something that they can point to as their source of why they can do the things that they can do. And most of the time, these sources are oozing with pride. But for the Christian, the way that we receive and use the power that God has given to us is not some sort of self-serving, proud source that we find within ourselves, that we just have to dig a little bit deeper within ourselves to find the courage and the strength that we need to keep going when we feel like we can't go any further. It's not the case. Our source and enabling factor to having and using the power of God is through humility. It was an act of humility when we one day, through the conviction of the Holy Spirit, realized that we were not good enough to make it to heaven on our own. We were not good enough to have a right relationship with God. No matter what we did, nothing was going to get us there. It is a humbling process coming to the cross for salvation. It has been said that there are no proud people in heaven. But also, as we seek to rely on God's power in our Christian lives, we also continue to show humility because the reliance on God's power is the understanding that we're not good enough or that we're not strong enough and that only God can do this to the level that he wants us to do this. And honestly, this should bring us great comfort. That even when we reach the end of our rope, when we reach the end of our limits, which is short, we have the infinite rope of God's power that he offers to us as we serve him. I'm not saying that we can do whatever we want through this power, and that because we have God's power, we can go outside and go and pick up cars or run with super speed because God has all this infinite power. But what we can do, we can do what he has called us to do. Right? We can witness to that coworker. We can take a stand for what is right, even though it might be a challenge for us. We can step out in faith, even though we may not know everything that will happen along the way. But God did not just give us power. He also gave us love. Love is essential to the Christian life. In fact, our whole Christian life is enabled and driven by love. The lives we now live as Christians and how we should live is all contingent on love. How others view us and know who we are is based off of our love. And more specifically, is the love that we now have because we have experienced the love of Christ. This love is what drives us and enables us to serve other people. I think it's relatively safe to say that sometimes people can be difficult. People can be challenging. This is especially the case when people are not our friends and are actually actively against us and what we are doing. And we live in a time where the middle ground is disappearing. People now more than ever are taking the mindset that if you are not actively for me, then you are actively against me. If you are not actively praising me and the decisions that I'm making, the lifestyle that I live, and even sacrificing to support that, then you aren't for me and you're actively against me and everything that I stand for and everything that makes me a person. So there are many cases when we are dealing with people that we may face opposition for literally doing nothing. So how do we deal with people that we may face with this opposition? How do we deal with people that think this way? How do we deal with people that act this way in opposition towards the things of Christ? The only way that we can overcome the fear of dealing in this arena of antagonistic social settings is with love. But not just any love. It's not our love. It needs to be the love of Christ. The love that can only come from Christ. A love that is not hypocritical and not forced because we have to, but rather a love that has been poured out first on us so that we can share it with others. In John 13, Christ makes it very clear that we need to be loving others the way that Christ loved us. This is the love that extends past just the love for our fellow believers, but it extends to all the lost world around us. It's love that drives us to serve others, even when we are fearful. It's love that drives us to share the gospel with those who may be hostile towards us, even when we are fearful. And the final aspect that we'll be looking at is going to be the fact that God has given us a sound mind. God has given us a sound mind. And this refers to the fears that oftentimes we stir up ourselves in our own heads. There is a phrase that says that we are oftentimes our own worst enemy. And again, this is oftentimes referred to the fact that we get in our own head and in our own way. And this is usually the result of our flesh and the work of the devil to try to deter us from doing what the Lord wants us to do. And really, this is where fear comes in. We think about all the ways that we can't do something. We think of all the reasons why we shouldn't do something, or reasons why we're not good enough or ready to do something. The battle for our minds is a very real battle that needs to be fought constantly with reliance on the Lord to give us a sound mind and victory in our thought life. But there is also the aspect that a sound mind brings about a disciplined, self-control, and properly prioritized mind. And when we think about serving the Lord, we need to be disciplined in our service for the Lord. We need to have self-control and our service for the Lord. We need to be making sure that our priorities are right as we serve Him. And the reliance needs to be on God to help us understand what is the right priority to have. How to have this self-control, how to exercise this self-control, to be disciplined. As we serve the Lord and He calls us to things that will be challenging, and will be hard. And as we do these things and face opposition from our flesh, the lost world around us, and the devil, we need to remember, first of all, who we are. We need to remember that we are children of God. We are genuine believers in Jesus Christ. That we are established by the grace of God. That God has placed us in positions where others have poured into our lives and helped us become more like Christ. And we need to remember the gifts that are ours in Christ because of our salvation. We also need to remember what our driving force is in service to Christ. It's not out of fear. It's not by our own strength. But rather, we have been given by God things that will enable us to keep us going even when we're afraid. Even when we may be confused, when we may feel like quitting, we know that God has the power and gives us the power to keep going. Not just any power that God has given us, but His power. God has also given us His love that enables us to love others and serve others. And God has given us a sound mind, a mind that is able to be secure a mind that is able to be confident, but also a mind that is disciplined, controlled, and properly prioritized. And this leaves one final question. What are you relying on in your service to God? Let's pray. Father, I just praise you for your word, or this account, as Paul is writing to Timothy and reminding him that even though he's going through trials, and these trials are difficult, and these challenges are even bringing Timothy to the point of tears, Lord, that we need to remember who we are in you. Lord, ultimately, you are the one who enables us. You are the one who calls us. You're the one who gifts us. Lord, we just praise you for that. Lord, we do pray for boldness as we do serve you, that we won't be serving in a state of fear, but Lord, that we would be relying on your power, relying on your love, and relying on the fact that you have given us a sound mind. Help us as we serve you to be remembering these things and applying these things in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.